Hey, this is Bradley Weber. I'm one of the pastors on staff here at Forward Church. Listen, I'm so glad you tuned in to today's podcast. I hope it challenges you and inspires you to go after God and be all that God's called you to be. Enjoy today's message. Look with me real quick. Let's go to the book of Matthew. Chapter 1, begin with verse 18. And this is a very short, this is probably one of the shortest messages in the history of messages, especially for me, because y'all know I always try to ask for that extra 15 minutes. I'm probably not going to have to ask for that tonight. It's a very simple message, and I won't take up a lot of your time tonight. I just believe that as we gather around here at Christmas time, it's very important that we look at God's Word and we really focus in on the true meaning of Christmas. So you're there. Matthew chapter 1, beginning with verse 18, says this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, everybody say came together. Before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Say that. Say through the Holy Spirit. Another translation says by the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be right back at that in just a moment. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Everybody say, from the Holy Spirit. From the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union. Everybody say no union. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that we can have fun in your word. I thank you that you are very much alive and your word, I'm asking that your word will come alive to us tonight. Father, as we gather around your word for just a few moments tonight, I ask that we would see you more clearly and the picture of your promise and your purpose and the mission that you sent your son and how we are engrafted and engraved in that mission and what our responsibility and purpose is to push that mission forward. Father, we exalt you tonight. We worship you. I thank you for what you're going to do in our hearts and our lives tonight in this place. Anoint the word. Anoint my lips. Anoint our ears. And that our spirits be open. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, basically, this is the story of the announcement of Jesus. And it's at this time of the year that most pastors come up with messages or you'll hear someone get up and say, touch your neighbor and tell them, say, Emmanuel, God with us. I actually did that, I think, this past Sunday. But so tonight I want to speak to you from the subject. It's nothing new. There's no original title here other than Emmanuel, God with us. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, say, Emmanuel, God with us. And I often wonder if we really understand, if we really even comprehend exactly what we're saying when we say the words God with us. A lot of people will, especially in church, when we know that someone's going through something, what's the first thing that pops out of our mouth? You're not alone. We're in this together, or I say that all the time, or God is with us. But do we truly really know what we're saying, or when I say, hey, God is with me, is it just a cliche statement, or do I really understand exactly what it means? I think sometimes we throw that around almost like confetti. We say, well, God's, you know how you, when you throw confetti, it's pretty while it's up there, but then it hits the ground, it's just dead. I often wonder if we say that around Christmas, God is with us, and then we turn the corner in January and it just kind of falls just away. Do we really understand? And we get to Christmas and we read the Christmas story, but I'm convinced that for most, it remains just that. It's just a story. And I think I came into this holiday season and My prayer was, and I may have said it the very first Sunday in December, that the story would be more than a story, that it would come to life in us. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't just be something that we focus on for 1 month, but it should actually be all 12 months that we're focusing on the fact that God is with us. And tonight, there's nothing more to this message other than I want to be an encouragement to you tonight. I really believe. I don't know why you came. I don't know at what point in your day you made the decision, I'm going to come to church tonight. Maybe you feel like it was your choice to come here tonight, but I want to let you know it wasn't your choice. You were led here by God tonight, and I believe that you were here on purpose. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, say, I'm here on purpose. How about you? How about you? How about you? So what I mean by this is this: what happens when we turn the corner of January and then life begins to happen? Because how many know life happens? There's a bumper sticker. It doesn't say life. It says happens. Life begins to happen, and it's easy for us to identify the presence of God when we're in a season of success or a successful season. It's easy. I identify He is with me. My bank account looks good. My wife loves me. My kids fall at my feet and call me holy. No, they really don't. For a 20, she would. But anyway, hands of grace, everything, daddy, a 20. Can I go to Starbucks? I'm like, baby, I need you to take the dogs out. I don't want to, but I just got you Starbucks. You know, everything, okay. But it's so true. It's easy for us to recognize God is in our life when everything's gravy, but what happens when life and the rug just gets pulled out from underneath us? Do we really understand God is still with us? Even though it may appear He's absent, He's very much present. Some of you have probably even asked, I know I have, and if you'll be honest tonight, you have too. When life does hit us at our weakest moment and where it hurts the most, we've asked the question, God, where are you? God, where are you at? How could you allow this to happen? And in that moment, that's when we should identify with the Christmas story more than ever before in our life and say, God is still with us. God is with me. He's walking me through this. It doesn't necessarily mean He's going to move it all out of the way, but He's going to make sure that you don't go under. The only reason you go under is if you give up. He's going to walk through it with us. So what happens when life gets tough? Tonight I want us to be an encouragement to you, and as we center around the subject of God with us. God with us. I read this, I think it was on an Instagram post. It was a picture, and I wrote it down. I thought, man, this is awesome. When we really recognize and understand that God is defending us in battles that we don't even know about. See, we're so concerned with God. I'm having to go through this. Can you say? But there are battles that He is warring and He's working through that we have no idea that we could. I was sitting there looking out the window today, and the deer came up, and I'm not really in touch with nature, so to speak. But I was just looking. I'm like, this is God's creation. You cannot convince me that there is not a God when you look out and they're just beautiful Bambi, you know. He and she and they're all the little family, and they're playing and all this stuff running around the backyard. There is a God. And I thought to myself, people ask, well, where are you? If he removed himself for just half of a second, this world would crumble. I know we look around and go, it's falling apart, but He's very much here. There is a consequence for every decision that we make as a nation. There's a consequence for every decision we make as individuals and as family members and as churches. A lot of the reason I believe that that our society is in the condition that it's in is because the church has made a decision to be an ostrich and stick its head in the sand and forgetting the mission that we're supposed to be, not come in here and coddle people and make us feel good. Yo, I preached that. I'm not going to go back to that one but from last week, but people get so caught up in that and forgetting what we're supposed to be about. Everybody say, be on mission. It's so true. And if you missed last Wednesday, I encourage you to go back and listen to last Wednesday night. I was encouraged by myself because half the time I don't remember half the stuff that I say. And when I went back, I was like, man, that was a great message. Thank you, God. But now that I'm looking at it, and that wasn't to compliment me, because a lot of times I walk off going, God, I blew it. And then I go back, because that's the enemy trying to, as soon as you drop a seed in the ground, the enemy will already come up and just try to move it out the way, and so the wind just carried away. But now that I'm realizing last week and this week, all of it is about the mission. As we study the life of Christ, again, our message will always be Jesus, and our mission will always be people. And as we preach Jesus, we're going to understand everything we should be doing is about a mission. Everything we should be doing is about a mission. Everybody say mission. Possible. Yeah. So have you ever found yourself in a situation where you needed God to show up? Anybody in the room? I can't remember if I shared this story before. I know I have with certain individuals in the house, but if I've shared it before, just act like I've never shared it. But I remember last year, I think it was last year, we had the big hurricane where we lost power for five plus days. Well, our family and another family of the church, we actually took shelter the night that it hit. We stayed here at the church because I was like, man, this building been here since Jesus was a baby, so it ain't going nowhere. So, and I was concerned about some trees in our yard, so we came here. But so the next morning, we went back to the house, and we did. We had lost power for 5 days, and we had the generator, and so we ran. It was so funny. You go in your neighborhood, and all you can hear throughout the day is, we don't have that generator like Richard, the real quiet ones. It's the old fashioned, you know, real loud. Everybody in your neighborhood, they don't know if you got an airboat in your backyard. That was us. So anyway, so we ran the generator during the day, but at night I would cut it off. So I basically could charge my our ADT because, you know, it runs on a battery, and I wanted to feel safe because at the same time there were actually robberies and stuff happening at a neighborhood behind us, very close. And when I caught wind of it, I was calling Adam like, "Did y'all find this lunatic? Because I need to know if I need to pull my heat out. What's going on?" So at night, the generator went off, the house would go dark. And because I didn't want to leave the extension cord out the door, you know what I'm saying? Because I didn't know crazy person coming in my house. So, and it was so hot. So we slept on the in the living room because it was the open air, the largest open area of the house, and so air could flow through. And so we were there in the middle of the night, and Ansley was there, and Amy was there, and I take Zequel every night. I should probably do a Zequel commercial because I'm like religiously I have to have that to sleep. So I was out. And what do? You don't have TV, you know, your cell phones are barely charged, and so you just go on to sleep. So we're in the middle of the night. I had my gun set right up here because, again, there's crazy people. There are crazy. Everybody say crazy. Crazy people. So we're asleep. I'm going somewhere with this. I'm talking about how you need God to show up. Okay, so we're asleep, and all of a sudden, now Dexter he's two. He's about 85 pounds, and he has the bark. It's ferocious. Like, if you don't know what's on the other side of that door, when you hit the door, it's like, well, I don't know what time of the night it was. All I know is it was dark, and I had been asleep for a while. And all of a sudden, the ADT alarm goes off. Dexter goes crazy. I sit up out of a dead sleep, and I'm watching my front door. I can hear it unlock, or somebody's moving into my house. Talking about needing Jesus to show up. Either you show up or I'm out. And so Dexter's going crazy, the alarm's going crazy, and then there's a flashlight in my face. And I remember from a child something that happened, and it terrified me when I was at my grandparents' house, and I really was convinced that bikers had broken in my grandparents' house in the middle of the night shining a flashlight. All of that came back to my memory in that one moment. Y'all ever been so scared that you needed to scream, wanted to scream, but you couldn't scream? That didn't happen for me. I screamed like a girl. I mean, I'm talking high pitch. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. But in that moment, God showed up because miraculously, whoever was coming in my house changed from an intruder to our other daughter, come from Gainesville, who had a key to our house that we forgot she was coming. Yeah. Yeah. God, I needed God to show up. And the moment that happened, let me tell you, church, the moment that happened, what was scaring me all of a sudden turned from scared I was mad, anger. You know why I was mad? Because Amy's laughing. Ansley's like, "Daddy, it's just tearing." I didn't care. But I'm telling you, God did show up. Because for whatever reason, he kept me so concentrated on the that I forgot the gun was there. Because how many knows that really could have went a whole nother different way? And so maybe I know that was kind of a funny, and I was trying to be transparent because I know you didn't expect Pastor B to scream like a girl, but my wife will tell you it was very much like a girl. But there are moments in our life where we need God to show up. There are things and situations we don't have control over. The enemy will throw, and it may not be a situation where it's a family member. It may be a situation, and it happened to us before we moved here. We were in the middle of it. I don't know why crazy stuff happens while I'm in the middle of my sleep. Another time while I'm in the middle of sleeping, and our backs, mine and Amy's backs are to each other, and I'm looking off the side of the bed. I'm full asleep, and all of a sudden I woke up out of a dead sleep, and there was something. This is true. This is not. It was a family member sneaking in our house. There was what I believe was a demonic spirit in my bedroom, and it was this close to my face. And it was another time that I actually did scream like that girl. But it wasn't. It was actually a spiritual. You need to leave. So there will be times when things will happen outside of our control that we need to tap back into the Christmas story. It's more than a manger. It's more than a star and wise men and gifts. We need to understand exactly what we're saying when we declare, God is with me. God is with me. Come on, somebody say, I receive it. Listen, because as we go throughout life, life does happen. We will face real challenges. We're going to face real problems. That's not a lot of preachers don't, they want to give you, you know, 5 steps to have a great life, carefree. I don't know where life and what planet you live on, but life happens. Life happens, and sometimes I react not in a way that I really believe God's with me. And then I got to say, God, I'm sorry that I didn't trust you. And that I didn't recognize. So if this message isn't for anybody else, it's not even a message. It's just a reminder that God is with us. Listen, it's the good news of Christmas that we don't have to go through these challenges alone. What you're facing, what you have faced this year, as we close out this year, you don't have to continue to walk through it alone. Christmas is the story of God coming to us because we couldn't get to Him. That's the whole reason around Christmas. It's more than just a gift giving, and I love to give gifts at Christmas, but it's more than that. The greatest gift that was ever given was when God wrapped Himself in flesh and blood and came to this earth. That's the greatest gift. So Jesus, Emmanuel, Jesus had many names. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, Jehovah Rophi, Jehovah Tsidkenu. There's lots of names of Jesus, and there's lots of other titles that he holds. Alpha and Omega, He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. He's also the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. What is so amazing to me is while He is all of those things, He's omnipresent, He's all of those things, He is warring battles on my behalf that I don't know about. While He is doing all of that for you, I also know that in that exact moment, He is also Emmanuel. He's God with me. So while all those other things are great, what I take comfort in the fact of knowing is that He is with me. He is Emmanuel, God with me. Us. It's who He is. Listen, Jesus is the God that walks with us. Everybody say, He walks with me. He does. Jesus is the God that gets in your valley. I know some people say, why do you keep having us repeat things? Because I think there's something in addition to just hearing the word. It's when you actually say, or if I put words in your mouth, so that tomorrow when life happens or situations get out of control, you can remind yourself, oh, that's right, God is with me. It's kind of like when you listen to the radio and you're listening to a song, you don't really pay attention to the lyrics, but all of a sudden you find yourself weeks later, you're singing that song. Why? Because it's getting inside of you. Tonight, what I'm asking, and every week, is that the word would get inside of you. When I put those words in your mouth, it's done by design so that when you face life and life doesn't act the way you want it to, you can say, that's okay, but God is still with me and I'm not afraid. Say, no fear. See, now you know why I do that. It's not just to collect thoughts. It's to say, let me put this in your mouth because somebody may need to say that tomorrow or next year when the hurricane comes and your front door opens up and you say, no fear. But listen, He's God with us. He gets in the ditch with us. He gets in the valley with us. He's the God who walks with me and talks with me. He's the God who will help me get through my storm. He's the God who will help me go through my sickness. He's the God that will help me get through my trial. Listen, He won't abandon you. He won't walk away from you. He won't leave you. He doesn't. He's God with us. It's the words that should burn in our hearts, not just at Christmas time, but every day of our lives. God with us. So tonight I want to give you, in the last few remaining moments that we have, I want to give you two things. I hope you're taking notes. If you've decided not to, change your mind and say, I'm going to take notes tonight. I want to give you two things tonight as we look at the name Emmanuel. When we look at the name Emmanuel, yes, it does mean God is with me, but there's something that we've got to come to terms with, and it's this. Jesus, if it's Emmanuel, God with us, and if Emmanuel is another name for Jesus, then what you must buy into is this fact, that Jesus is God. He is God. Now, this blows my mind because I was thinking, as you look at pictures on the internet of the nativity scene and of baby Jesus, that God entrusted a 14 to 15-year-old girl with himself. He trusted a 14-year-old teenager with all that we know later read about embodied in a baby. How many knows if we try to entrust something of that magnitude to something to a 14-year-old little girl today, it might get a little messed up. But that goes to show you how much faith God had in us, or how much trust he had in his own creation. I thought about this today while I was looking at the deer in the backyard. That the one who created all of this, he was now being born into the very thing that he created. Just stop and think about it. He created all of this. He was the reason that thousands of years, all these people that came to see him, he's the reason they were all there. Now, we know that to be true, that the reason they came to the stable was because of him. But no. The reason they were living, breathing, and having life was because of the very one, a baby. It's just crazy. Again, it's got to be more than just a story. Somebody say, more than a story. It is more than a story. So you must decide, do you believe this to be true? Do you believe that Jesus is God? He's not just a good teacher. He's not just somebody who gives us good principles to live by. Jesus is Emmanuel, which means Jesus is God. It's what Christmas is all about. Listen, we couldn't get to God, so he came to us. There are times that we feel like we can't get to him, so in the middle of our week or in the middle of our circumstance, we're so bombarded down with life, we can't even pray. You ever been there? You can't even seem to muster up a God help me, God save me. Well, if all you got's a girl scream, you throw that baby out there and get his attention. He's just like, yep, that's B. He's down there. Well, bless his heart. So the Christmas story is beautiful. It's beautiful. I mean, it comes with lights, and it's more than a tree, and it's more than a manger. It's beautiful, but it's more than wise men and shepherds and showing up to see a baby. The proclamation of what Christmas truly is that Jesus has come and Jesus is God. That's what Christmas is all about. Yeah, have you ever stopped to think that maybe there's more, there's something more about this man, Jesus, more than the manger? That now over 2,000 years later, we still celebrate his birth. We still focus, and God forgive us that it takes us waiting all year to actually focus on the true meaning of Christmas and really why he came. Again, when we say God with us, it should not just be something that's familiar in December. It should be something that I tap into in January. And then when all hell's coming against me in February, and now it's supposed to be the month of love, and my marriage is falling apart. And then we're supposed to be a happy family. We're supposed to be going on vacation during the summer months. That's the moment that I should stand and go, but I may be going through it, yes. I may feel all alone, yes, but I'm not alone. God is with me. We must know and understand that Jesus is God. He was on a mission. His mission is people, and that mission is still alive today. Even though this book seems ancient to a lot of people, it is very much alive today. The mission that this book represents is still very alive today, and all that God is asking is there some people that actually pick this book up, pick up the mission, and put the mission in action. In closing. So the first point was that Jesus is God. This is the last point. That Jesus is with us. I told you this is the most simplest message. But I say this all the time and it bears repeating. It is the most simple things that gets us off. It's the simplest things that gets us out of sync. It's the simple things that we miss, that we get tripped. It should be the foundation and the basis of our life, of this ministry, of every church, of our marriage. It should be the basis that Jesus is God. Now, that alone I've watched, been a part of, causing church splits because people didn't believe that the baby was actually God. So we have to, that's why I said you got to come to terms with it. In order for this to actually work in your favor, you must believe that Jesus is God. And then secondly, that Jesus is with us. Listen, Jesus came to get us back. He came to get us We were his. We sinned. Man sinned. He came to get us back. But more importantly, listen, he came so that we would understand that he gets us. You ever had anybody that didn't get you? He wants you to understand he gets you. Now I'm speaking to the group, but I'm actually speaking to individuals tonight. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm speaking to every person individually right in this moment. Remember what I told you. You thought you made the decision to be here tonight, but you were actually already set up. God was already leading you here tonight for this very reason. That you would understand that Jesus is God and Jesus is with you and he gets you. He gets you. He understands you. He sympathizes with you. He knows exactly what you're going through. Listen, the story of Jesus, listen, no. We're bullying is on us today, but I guarantee you bullying was going on back in the day. Can you imagine Jesus, again, growing up? He was just a kid. Now, he knew what his purpose was, but he's just a kid, and he's getting picked on. Oh, that's that kid. That's that kid whose parents, you know, they didn't come together. Okay, that went over your head. They didn't have sex. That's Jesus. You know, he came by the Holy Spirit. Can y'all imagine how that was felt to come up in under that pressure? And then, does he really understand? He actually came from a broken home. His parents stayed together, or maybe you should say it was a blended home, because he was the only one of his kind. He had half-brothers, a half-brother, but he was the only one. So he knows what it's like to be raised up in a blended home. What are you saying, B? I'm saying this. He gets you. He understands you. If we were to dissect every hurt, he took all that on the cross. So all the feelings that we feel, loneliness and despair and disappointment and discouragement, he understands all that. People walking out on us, he understands that too. So, have you ever gone through something and somebody walks up in front of you and goes, "I understand." And you're like, "Man, you don't understand crap. You don't know what I'm going through. You have no idea." Ever felt that way? And now you're no longer, they're trying to encourage you. Now you're discouraged. And matter of fact, you want to like take them out. You know what I'm talking about? Jugular vein, just so much for trying to be the Christian. That's why when I know somebody's going through, I don't just go to my pastoral book, you know, the little black book that gives me all the little cool sayings to help somebody through. No, but what I can tell you is there is someone who has been where you are, who knows the feelings and the emotions of what you're going through, and his name is Jesus. And I'm here tonight to tell you, he hasn't left you. He's still here. He's with you. I'll say it in January, February, March, all the way till next December. Every time the enemy tries to convince you that nobody understands what you're going through, I'm here tonight to tell you, he understands. He gets you. I'm encouraging myself tonight that when life, things just seem crazy and you don't understand, he's still with me. He understands more than you could ever imagine. Somebody say, He knows my pain. Say it again. Say, Jesus knows my pain. Say it again. Say, He understands me. He's with me. He is the God that is engaged in every area of our lives. Everybody standing all over this room, listen to me. Listen to me. He is engaged in every area of your life. And even when it seems that He's absent, bless God, I'm telling you, He is very much present. And even when we can't trace Him, listen, even though we can't put our finger on Him and trace and say He's right there, you can trust Him. I'm telling you, you can trust Him. And even when He's quiet, you need to rest assured and knowing that He is still there. He's Emmanuel, God with us.
Thanks for tuning in to this edition of Forward Church Online. At Forward, we believe that God speaks to each one of us individually, directing our lives and giving us focus. It is our desire that you would experience Christ and pursue His purpose for your life. One of the easiest ways to draw close to God is by connecting with the local church. Get started today by visiting myforwardchurch.org to find out all the ways that you can give, serve, and grow.